Earlier this month, President Donald Trump spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast and made this policy promise.
Among those freedoms is the right to worship according to our own beliefs. That is why I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution. I will do that. Remember.
The Johnson Amendment has been in place since 1954, when then-Senator Lyndon Johnson sponsored it. But what does it say, and what would getting rid of it mean? To answer those and other questions about the Johnson Amendment, I'm joined by Adam Chatterow. He's a law professor in the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at ASU. He specializes in tax law. And Adam, first off, let's define our terms. What does the Johnson Amendment say, and what does it allow and not allow?
Sure. Well, the Johnson Amendment is an amendment to Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code, which is the provision that provides that certain organizations can be tax exempt. And they include churches, universities, and other educational institutions, scientific institutions, and your traditional charities. And what the Johnson Amendment did was it added a provision that said organizations that qualify under this provision may not essentially advocate for or against political candidates.
So what are the arguments for or and against that?
Well, the arguments against it, and in particular with regard to churches, is that we don't want the government involved in church business, and that religious leaders ought to be able to say whatever they want to say without any government regulation. The argument for it is that what we are doing in the tax code is we are providing a subsidy to organizations that provide certain public services. So it's essentially definitional. It's like, if you are a charity, you do charitable work, and you don't get involved in politics.
Where does the First Amendment fall into this? Because presumably, pastors and priests and rabbis and imams have the same First Amendment rights as anybody else.
Right. So there are really a couple of provisions in the First Amendment we need to think about. The first is that the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, meaning that we can't support religion. But at the same time, they cannot prohibit the free exercise thereof. And these two provisions are somewhat in tension, because if you create a special rule for religion to allow them free exercise, it can often look like it is an establishment. In addition to those two provisions, of course, there's the provision about abridging the freedom of expression. And so what religious leaders would tell you is that it inhibits my free exercise and it inhibits my speech, which are two separate claims.
Does this just apply sort of to public settings like a sermon or a church service? Or does it also apply if you meet with your spiritual leader in his or her office or at a coffee shop? Like, they still at that time cannot expressly advocate for a position or a candidate.
Right. The way it's been construed by the IRS is that it's basically preaching politics from the pulpit. Right. If you look around today, there are ministers all over the place expressing opinions on just about everything. I don't think it can be said that the Johnson Amendment has taken politics out of religion. This is actually a fairly small restriction, which says if you're preaching from the pulpit, we don't want you to be out there endorsing candidates or getting involved in lobbying.
Practically speaking, how is that enforced? I mean, clearly the IRS does not have somebody in every congregation across the country every day.
No, in fact, this is almost never enforced. Part of the problem, if you're the IRS, is that what you've got to do if you think that there's been a violation is you have to investigate a church. And what happens is that if you start investigating a church, churches tend to be well-connected. And before you know it, you've got a congressman or a senator in your office saying, what are you people doing? And so my guess is that if you asked most people in the IRS, they would say, we don't want to do this because it's so politically fraught. And actually, if you look at the record, the IRS almost never prosecutes. I think I found one case in which it revoked a church's tax exemption for overtly getting involved in politics.
So what would it look like then if the Johnson Amendment were to be done away with, as President Trump has suggested? What would that mean? What would that look like?
Well, here's the problem. First of all, it would allow ministers, and not just ministers, but anybody involved in any charitable organization to start lobbying and to start endorsing candidates or opposing candidates explicitly.
So it's not just a matter of what a sermon might sound like. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yes. And we have a rule in the United States, a general rule that says we are not going to subsidize political speech. What that means is if you want to donate to the Democrats or the Republicans or the Green Party or whoever you want, you can go ahead and do that, but you're not going to get a tax deduction for it. And this is where it gets really tricky. If you donate to a church, you get to deduct the amount of the donation. And the problem is that if we allow churches and other nonprofit organizations to start getting involved in politics, that's where all the money's going to flow.
It seems to me there would be a fairly fine line that some religious leaders would be walking. For example, a lot of religious leaders talk about social justice or the environment, things like that, which are in some ways political issues, and in many ways they take a stand that we should look after our neighbors, we should do what's right for the environment, things like that. Is there a danger under the Johnson Amendment that by expressly advocating, for example, that we should recycle or that we should go work at a food bank or something like that to help the less fortunate or to help the environment, could they potentially run afoul of this?
Not for something like that, right? The rule is fairly narrowly drawn, right? You can't get up and say, vote for Hillary or vote for Donald. But what you can say is we care about the plight of refugees because our religious teachings tell us that we should welcome the stranger among us. And this is you've put your finger on the problem, which is that for many religious leaders, they say, look, these are moral questions, and these are questions that our religion struggles to answer, and so I should be able to talk about that. And that seems to me absolutely right. But there's a difference between talking about the issues and then advocating for a particular candidate or against a particular candidate.
Adam Chatero is a professor in the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at ASU. He focuses on tax law. Adam, thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.